So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribe. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Nothing is more important to Wisconsin residents than the quality of the water they drink and otherwise use and recreate in. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss created an Assembly Water Quality Task Force earlier this year. It met in 10 communities, 14 hearings. It met over a period from June 13th to September 5th. So it's time to ask the chair and co-chair, before they make recommendations, what did they learn on the road about water quality in Wisconsin? I want to thank chair of that panel, Representative Todd Novak. He's a Republican from Dodgeville. He represents the 51st District. And co-chair, Democratic Representative Katrina Shanklin is from Stevens Point. She represents the 71st District. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
10,000-foot level question. You're not scientists. You heard from scientists. You heard from citizens. You heard from experts. You're, like me, a former newspaper person. Hope nobody holds that against it. You work for nonprofits. So what did you learn? 3 months on the road hearing from hundreds of people. Overview, please.
You know, and one of the reasons that we had so many hearings is with water, there's not a one-fix-all solution because of the topography of Wisconsin, and every area is different. So every area we went into, we heard a different issue with water, a unique problem in that area. Southwest Wisconsin, you know, nitrate issues. We ran into some, of course, we were Marinette, PFAS, huge
yep.
issue. Green Bay and Stevens Point, and we heard about the Kewaunee County issue. I learned a lot. I know more about water now than I did months ago. Representative Shanklin's always been an issue with her. But, you know, and we did listen to a lot of scientists, and that was one thing we wanted to do when we started this. Pretty much uniformly, we have some issues, but we did hear some good things. We heard from some farmer groups that are doing some good things. We've heard some areas that are have improved their water, but we also heard from people that their water's getting worse. So our goal is to try to help mm-hmm. any way we can with what we're going to roll out. So,
well, you come from the Central Sands area, which has been debated because of the groundwater and high-speed wells, but that's a very valuable part of Central Wisconsin's ag. So your impressions after 3 months on the road, Katrina?
So I really appreciated the opportunity to learn from folks on the ground in 13 different communities. We traveled all over the state to both urban and rural areas, and we learned not only about nitrate and the issues, especially the public health crisis that we have with nitrate contamination across many counties in the state, yep. but we also heard about bacteria, lead, PFAS, and even arsenic. And the DNR, DACAP, and the Department of Health Services provided us with nonpartisan scientific information at every hearing when we needed it and followed up with us months after when we raised questions and asked them for more information about a topic. And I think what struck me most was the scale at which communities are having this issue. It isn't just a few people with private wells who have contamination. It's many people who've been dealing with this issue for many years with very little help. And I have felt like it is not just a health issue, it's also a human issue. There's an element of humanity. You know, we drink water every day, we rely on water as individuals, but you also don't think about until you hear a grandma talk about how she won't bathe her grandkids in the water at her house. That, you know, think about it tonight.
Where did
when
she
you
live?
I wish I could remember.
No, excuse me,
I think
ahead.
It might have been Northeast Wisconsin.
Northeast Wisconsin.
But, you know, think about when you brush your teeth tonight. It's, you know, can you imagine having to use bottled water to brush your teeth because you can't use that water from the tap? And for many people, that's their lives. And I think that we are compelled to act. And I'm very grateful that this task force has been working so hard over the last few months. I feel like many members were really excited about the opportunity. And for me, I feel urgency more than anything because learning the science behind the land use application and how, for example, nitrate can contaminate our waters and why, now we have to act. And that's what I'm most excited about with this opportunity.
You use the term urgency. Are we in a crisis, Representative?
I believe we have a public health crisis, yes. I think when you have 1 in 4 people in certain parts of Portage County, 1 in 4, 1 in 2 and 5 actually in some places in southwest Wisconsin, 1 in 3 in some places in northeast Wisconsin, that tells me this is much greater than just a few people with urgent needs. It's a large-scale urgency that we need to address.
Crisis, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that we wanted to address this and we asked for the task force is, you know, water's been in the news a lot in the last, you know, it's always been an issue, but it's, as you know, watching the news, it's becomes to that point. And we need to address some issues now. And one thing I want to come out of this, and talking to the speaker, we're just starting. And that's what I wanted to make clear, is what we're coming out with is a start. We're not stopping. I wish, you know, we could do a lot more, but I think Representative Shanklin and I plan on keep going to the next session. What we can't all do this time, we're going to keep on this. Now, we're going to have to address PFAS, which you're hearing is climate. When we first started our hearings or just started discussing the water, PFAS, you know, you read about in the news, and it was a big issue in Marinette.
You know, did either of you know what they were? Because it took me.
You heard it.
I understand.
I knew it was bad.
But now you've got some explanations from experts on PFAS and scare you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And but when we started, PFAS was, you know, somewhere in the, but now it is wet.
Well, I want to stay on that a bit. So you mentioned about a bunch of different elements. We have arsenic, we have lead, we have nitrates, and we have PFAS. Did PFAS go to the top of the list?
I think so. I would put it along with nitrate and bacteria, just because bacteria, you can't drink that water. You can't drink E. coli water. And usually nitrate and bacteria tend to be together. If there's bacteria, there's a nitrate issue. There's also a pesticide issue sometimes with nitrate. But I think PFAS, what scares me the most is we don't have decades of research like we do with nitrate. And a report just this year came out showing the different kinds of cancer that nitrate causes definitively and estimates about 12,000 people die per year because of nitrate, due to the cancer that they end up developing. But we don't have that same kind of research. We know that it bioaccumulates, so it stays in our body for very long periods of time. But we don't have the long-term health effects and ramifications as much of a body of research as we do with nitrate. So that's what scares me, is the fear of the unknown and how we all have it in us. It's in some cases it's been in our clothing, it's been on our cookware, in addition to firefighting foam.
Well, here was a dramatic example. There was a major fire in downtown Madison involving Madison Gas and Electric, and then later PFAS were found in Starkweather Creek. It was a rather large headline in the State Journal. So your takeaway about PFAS, Mr. Chair?
It climbed way up on my radar, and I've learned so much, and there's still so much unknown. And it's not just Wisconsin that's struggling with this. I mean, this has become a nationwide thing. You know, and 60% of PFAS are food-related items. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, like the coating on pizza boxes and things like that, clothes. So the chances are, if the three of us take a blood test right now, we have some level of PFAS in our body. Most people do. And that's the stark reality of it.
Well, what does science say about PFAS? Has it been a established as a direct link to cancer?
That's out there. I mean, there is, it's been said that, PFAS can cause cancer. I mean, they're studying it right now. It's moving way up. I think you're going to find, a lot more. I mean, PFAS have been around, 60 years when they started manufacturing.
The chemical companies knew about their health effects long before the public did, and I think that's the point, is how much research is out there that we haven't found. But the Department of Health Services did review over 5,000 documents on PFAS nationally and globally before setting their health standards that are up for review right now. And I don't want to say that we don't know it's carcinogenic. As far as we know, it absolutely is. What I mean is we don't have decades of body of research that proves what kind and how many. We don't have the sample sizes that we do for nitrate. I also want to point out, going back to, if we were to rank the contaminants, that's from an adult point of view, and I actually think that might be incorrect, because if you look at lead, and it's long-term health effects on children specifically.
Yes.
That is just as detrimental, if not worse. It can lead to behavioral issues. It can lead to significant health concerns. There's even connections between a child's exposure to lead, their brain development, and crime propensity down the road. So I guess at the end of the day, you know what, I don't want to rank the contaminants.
I understand. It's probably
because,
unfair to rank them.
Yeah, well, and, like, there's an equity issue, you know, attached to that. But also for kids, it is so dangerous for them to be exposed to lead at any level whatsoever. There's no known safe blood lead level for children or anyone, really. So looking back at the comments, I just want to point out, like, at the end of the day, the people of Wisconsin, regardless of zip code, deserve to have clean water from their taps. And we need to help them in that effort. And we need to have a long-term plan to prevent contamination from happening altogether.
Can I return to PFAS for just a minute?
Sure.
Is the science out there to address this problem that we're seeing in, unfortunately, increasing number of incidents?
We're getting there. The science is getting better. I mean, everybody's in a mad scramble right now. Scientists all across the United States. The PFAS level, each state is setting levels of acceptable, and they're not. There's no uniform. I was at a water conference in August, and everybody's just trying to figure this out. There's really no leadership, I don't feel, from the federal level on this, because I think the states are ahead of the feds on figuring PFAS out. So, and that's part of the issue, too.
Well, I assume your task force got cooperation from UW scientists and DNR and some local officials. And I looked at some of your testimony, and you heard from nonprofits. You heard from environmental groups. So you were out there getting a great deal of cooperation. I guess my question is, is Wisconsin's political leaders coming too late to the problem of water quality? Should we have been having this conversation 2, 4, and 6 years ago?
I think that after what I learned, probably, yes.
Okay.
I mean, and to be honest with you, you know, Representative Tranel and I asked for this task force because we had a big issue in southwest Wisconsin.
Some of those, after you test the groundwaters in some of your farms in your southwest Wisconsin area, those results were stunning, weren't they?
Yeah, and it's like, wow, we got to do something. But now, after all I've learned, and you mentioned everybody, we heard from over, I think, about 70, from all, we let anybody that asked a group to testify, and we allowed them. I believe we probably should have been on this before. If I know from forward, going forward, this is going to be a top priority of my time in the legislature is water as long as I'm here. So, because I feel it's that important.
Well, let's talk about nitrates. Let's talk about the problem in northeast Wisconsin in Kewaunee, where people are getting their water, unfortunately, through bottled water. Is that going to continue?
That's a great question. I think first and foremost, anytime we have an issue where there's land use and the land use is creating the contamination, we have to do either one of two things. We either have to use the land differently or we have to apply differently. And my strategy all along has been, can we bring all stakeholders to the table? And can we look at how we use our land, especially in places where the depth to bedrock is so small? Clearly, there has to be a land use change. And NR 151 was changed for parts of northeast Wisconsin.
Yes.
It wasn't applied to the entire karst region as originally proposed.
Yes.
It was a good start, but most people that we heard from in northeast Wisconsin said 2 feet to bedrock as a suggestion is not helpful when there's little to no enforcement, and it should be much further than that. And so I think what we need is, and of course, with the agricultural economy, we need our farmers at the table, too. We need to look at creative solutions to these problems in a way that will support our farmers while also protecting the water. And whether it's reducing nitrogen application, which is something the committee heard about at every single public hearing, and creative ways to do that. You know, there are communities in Wisconsin that currently pay their farmers to use less nitrogen, and the country of Denmark does it as well. So, you know, those are some ways to look at it. And then there's the manure spreading aspect of this, which is what Kewaunee County has tackled but needs to continue to tackle.
Right.
And so I think regardless of if we're talking about Kewaunee County, Central Sands, or southwest Wisconsin, if we're talking about land use, because there's reports from 30 years back and onwards that say that about 90% of nitrogen contamination comes from agriculture as a conservative estimate, and the rest come from septic tanks, golf courses, whatever else you want to put in there, but most of it is agriculture. And do we want to say, well, you're part of the problem, you have to pay for it? I think a lot of people want to see them paying for part of it, and what I would like to see is us coming in as well and saying, we understand the economics and the agronomics of your situation, and we want to help incentivize you to use less at a time when we understand how difficult it is for you. That's where I'd like to see us go.
Based on what you heard over 3 months, let me ask this. Should Wisconsin consider, the word is consider, a moratorium on CAFOs? Concentrated animal feeding organization. Should we? That's a political question.
It's a political question, you know, and we heard a lot. To be honest with you, people came to the hearings and some said, well, if we get rid of CAFOs, that'll solve the problem. That doesn't necessarily solve the problem. We toured a CAFO. We heard from the CAFOs. I mean, the thing is we need to get, we got everybody to the table. We got all different aspects, small farmers, large farmers, you know, were testifying in every hearing. We need to get over this big versus small, you know, and get everybody to the same table. So, that won't be a recommendation on here, of course, but I know it's a discussion. So,
Can I ask the testimony or the scientific evidence that you each heard over the last 3 months that most concerned you? Any one anecdote? You mentioned the grandmother. Any one thing that caught you aback? Whoa, I didn't know it was that bad.
There were some areas, and I can't remember where the lady testified about going out and her every morning and having her coffee on the back porch and then to watch the creek. And over time, the creek disappeared and it got goopy and green, and that kind of was like, wow.
We can all relate to that.
Yes, and she was very passionate and emotional, and totally it's the human stories that we heard. Personal stories that really got to the task force members.
Any one testimony representative?
Some of the photos of the green goop that you could basically stand on, it was almost a hard substance at that point because of the algae blooms, and these are toxic algae blooms. I agree. You know, we love our lakes, rivers, and streams in Wisconsin, and to not be able to use them and enjoy them was a very powerful testimony from multiple people. I also think every person sharing their individual story regarding their kids or grandkids helped me think this is about our future. And you'd asked earlier, should we have addressed this sooner? And I think, you know, some people have been working on these issues for decades, and they've literally been for decades providing the legislature and policymakers the research. And I don't know why the political will took so long, but I'm not here to criticize that. I'm here to say let's use this momentum to keep going. And I think whatever results from the task force, I want to work further after that, because the human element to this, there was a baby in the Central Sands who died presumably because of nitrate. The mother didn't know that she was drinking nitrate contaminated water. That story really created a maelstrom of action in the southern part of Central Sands, and I think those stories are the ones that compel policymakers to act.
Your mission statement on the task force website says it's a nonpartisan issue. Agreement here?
No, absolutely. This is not a Democrat or Republican, and I commend my Katrina and my colleagues on the other side, and we kept politics out of it as much as possible, and I don't think we ever really went there. And I mean, it was nice, and these were not short hearings. I think our average hearing was sometimes up to 8 hours. It was really heartwarming to me after we got done, and all the members at the task force were like, wow. I mean, they rattled off ideas and that's all they talk about after the hearings is what they learned. And so it made a huge impact on us.
Well, within the last 2 months, Wisconsin, I interviewed the DNR secretary. The number of people in Wisconsin that get their water from private wells, I found astonishing. Mm-hmm. What advice, now that you've got this body, heard this body of testimony, would you give someone who gets her or his water from private wells?
So we have about 1 million people in Wisconsin with private wells, and you should test your well
households
annually.
People,
I believe.
Thank you.
And you should test your well annually, and you should make sure that...
I'm going to make a note. I haven't
done
that
at least, exactly. At least test annually. Sometimes the results will be different, depending on different times of year, the amount of precipitation, you know, the groundwater flow. But I would say use a reliable source. I would recommend not using a person who might have an interest in testing your well and then selling you something. I would suggest, for example, we have UWSP has a wonderful testing lab that many counties in Wisconsin use, and we toured it actually to kind of see their process and see how the many contracts that they have. But find a someone who is trustworthy, credentialed, and is not financially interested in selling you the most expensive product for a solution, but instead has your best interest at heart when it comes to, do you need a new well? Is the well going to have a reconstruction issue? Do you have to get it reconstructed because maybe there's bacteria coming in? What is the source? What are the reasons behind the contamination if there are some? I would say, you know, finding that reliable person is going to be key to figuring out exactly what your contamination issues are if you have them and how to remediate them.
1 million people. Any PS on that, sir?
Well, we need the data. I totally encourage, you know, and that was one nice thing. When we go into an area and have a hearing, there was a lot of publicity, local publicity. And hearing from some of the counties and the areas we went to, the health department's got huge increase of people asking to get their wells tested. You would not believe how many people don't care. And that was one thing people need to do. And for a couple things, they need to know their water's safe, and we need the data. The state of Wisconsin needs the data because the science has gotten so good, then we can pinpoint hot spots, go in and see what the problem is. That's my new line when I see people, if you had your well tested. And that we learned how important that is.
Let's talk about lead. Now, lead comes in when homes are old and their pipes lined with lead connect to the municipal system. Big issue in Milwaukee. The governor recommended aid. That didn't pass. But the issue seems to be, is it the state's job to help replace some of those lead-contaminated lines? What are your thoughts going forward on lead, Mr. Chairman?
You know, I understand the lead issue. We heard some on lead. We had a hearing in Milwaukee. You know, it is an issue. Some municipalities have done the replacement on their own.
Green Bay.
I believe Madison may have has replaced everything themselves, too. So it's a divided question. It's a question that divides people, because I have had municipalities say to me, you know, that have replaced their zone, well, you're going to give all the money over here. We did it on our own. Our ratepayers paid for it. But it is important. I want Milwaukee's lead pipes replaced. It's just how we get there is the question. And we had a hearing there and heard from their departments. And, it's just how we get there.
Thoughts on lead?
I supported every possible solution, whether it was the leading on lead, that original law that allowed you to put it on the tax bill, but also the bonding in the budget, that $40 million. I think that's a small investment when, you know, we have an early childhood caucus. It's called the Children's Caucus in Wisconsin, the legislature. And we talk all the time about brain development, and we talk about ACEs and trauma. But there's another piece of this, and that's the public health. And if your child is exposed to lead at a young age, especially between 0 and 3, but also 0 and 6, that's going to add up to, and that will affect their development in a way that I don't want to say is irreversible, because I'm not a scientist, but it certainly will be difficult to mitigate and much more expensive to mitigate down the road. So I think, you know, when it's government's job to look at investing, you want a good return on investment. The best investment that you can make is in a child, right? Early childhood investment is an incredible, many people say it's better than the stock market for returns. So let me just point out, not that I like the idea of equating investing in children to like the stock market, but if we were to fund just a small piece of the lead service lines replacement in places like Milwaukee, but also in places across the state that are in rural regions as well, in the top 10 most affected villages, towns, and cities, there are many rural areas, actually, who are just as affected with children with lead in their blood than Milwaukee. So I think it's important that we look at it from a holistic point of view, not just economics and taxpayer money, but also, is it not a moral obligation to make sure our kids don't have lead in their blood? And I think the answer is, of course, it's our moral obligation. And it's bonding money, so I think we can more than afford it. But if the legislature can't do that, I would suggest Representative Grzynski has a tax credit bill to help replace lead service lines and pipes, and I think that's a common sense proposal.
Has your caucus talked about that?
Not yet. Okay. They're waiting for us, or, you know, I'll be
on your recommendations.
On our recommendations, and I'm going to go more in depth on some of these issues we need to tackle. So,
given the importance of water and the urgency that you found out in the road, when will we be seeing recommendations from the task force? Have you got drafts? Anything you want to share now? Let's make some news. Go ahead.
Well, we're not quite there yet. Representative Shanklin and I are working together. I think we're meeting after this. I would say a couple three weeks.
Okay.
This will be, according to the speaker, one of the last session days will be devoted to water. And so we're getting ready to roll things out. And, you know, every time we talk, we're changing things. And so, yeah.
Can you just tell us, can we expect some dramatic and major recommendations in terms of either funding a lot of money or change, recommending people change in lifestyles? Are we talking bold, dramatic changes, Mr. Chair?
Well, I have a budget, so we're trying to work within that. And unfortunately, you know, I got to, when Katrina and I first sat down and we started this, I always tell people this comment. Katrina said to me, you know, if we had $5 billion, we could solve this. If they gave us $5 billion, we could solve all these problems.
That's true.
That was one of my next questions. Yeah. Can these problems be solved with money, or do people have to make some lifestyle change?
A little of both.
People in businesses have to.
Yep, a little of both.
$5 billion could solve this?
I don't want to be quoted as the definitive estimator,
but I did say that. It's true. So the Groundwater Coordinating Council, who's tasked with writing a yearly report about our water, actually estimated just to fix the nitrate in our private well issue would be $456 million. So, okay, we're looking at about $500 million right there. Now, that doesn't take into account any wells that are contaminated by emerging contaminants like PFAS. It doesn't take into account arsenic. It doesn't take into account lead. So, you know, lead alone, we're talking tens of millions of dollars, depending on the municipality and the need, and that doesn't take into account the public health. So when you've got kids with lead in their blood, you've got, you know, lead poisoning issues, you've got to fund that. So my point was, if we wanted to solve this, is it painful to make lifestyle changes or land application changes? Yes. Incentive programs can help with that, right? They can help alleviate the pain or the burden of maybe recommending that you use less nitrogen. Obviously, you'll get less of a yield then. You'll grow less corn that you can sell. So how do you make up the difference? You provide an incentive, just like we already do with things like cover crops, with interseeding practices, you name it, with no-till. So my point was, when we first started meeting, I jokingly said, yeah, it'll take $5 billion to clean this up. And that's to get everyone clean water. That's to get the contamination maybe not solved or cleaned up, but prevented down the road so that we don't have it 10, 20, 30 years from now.
But the two-year all-funds budget that just passed and the governor signed into law after some vetoes, $75 billion. Mm-hmm. So compare $5 billion to make investments that help people's health doesn't sound like a lot when the backdrop of a $75 billion all-funds budget. Is it about money? We're almost out of time, but it's more than about money, right?
Oh, definitely.
People have to understand and make decisions. And what role, quickly, should the feds and local governments play in this as we address our water quality
problem? I think everybody needs to work together, the feds, the state, local governments, and they all need to work together, and we need to give people the tools to do this. And so I think it's important. This issue isn't going away. I mean, we're going to be talking about water long after I'm gone and Katrina's gone, and
which is why my next question is, as you continue to work on this issue and successive legislative leaders, what are your hopes 5 years out on water quality in Wisconsin, given the foundation that your task force has just laid? Please.
I want us to have a clean water fund. I want whoever the next Representative Novak and Representative Shankland are, to sit down and say, all right, we've got tens of millions of dollars in our clean water fund. How are we going to appropriate it? I want them to have those tools, because we don't have that right now. We have to fight for this money. And every single meeting that we have, we say, okay, what's our budget? And this isn't just about money. It's about our health. It's about our lives, our livelihood, and our long-term heritage of, you know, protecting our lakes, rivers, and streams, and making sure that we can access not just our surface water, but our groundwater. I think a clean water fund would go a long way to protecting Wisconsin's legacy, preventing contamination, helping people adopt new changes that will further prevent contamination, and then remediating the current contamination, clean up our water, and get everyone clean drinking water.
As your vice chair just said, the clean water fund will be part of your recommendations. Come on, make
I'm not saying that. We're meeting after this, but I do agree. We got to quit doing this budget to budget. This is this, and how we get there, I don't know. But I just can't. You know, I fought for some stuff in this budget for water related, and I know Katrina wants stuff too. And we just can't do this every 2 years.
Okay. So, and you found a growing reality across the state about the severity and the growing urgency of this problem.
Yeah, and we're going to roll out. And I know in this world that we live in, some people are going to say we're doing too much. Some people are going to say we're not doing enough. We're in also, but I think we're working together.
Do you expect action in the spring session?
Yes.
Spring session.
Yes. We'll be coming out in November, early November, and then Robin's, or the speaker, has told me January, February.
Very important work. Okay, I'm going to thank the leaders of the Assembly Water Quality Task Force. The chair is Representative Todd Novak. He's a Republican from Dodgeville, represents the 51st District. The vice chair is Representative Katrina Shanklin. She's a Democrat from Stevens Point, represents the 71st District. Thank you so much. Wisconsin and I will be covering your recommendations. Thank you.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol. Wisconsin Eye would not exist without generous donors like you. Please visit wisi.org to make a donation today.